Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we get into an interesting part of the development of the plan that we're kind of executing now with coronavirus. Event 201. Glenn covered it on TV. You can get the full show there at blazetv.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. You'll save $30 with that. But this is about, you know, if there is a pandemic, what do we do? And they outline all of their plans, and we're seeing those plans being executed now. It involves a lot of big figures on the left and in business, and how those things, how government and business are going to work together. It's something you definitely want to watch. And Glenn starts the show with it, give you a little preview of it there. We also hear from Kevin Freeman. He's from Blaze TV as well, talking about how we can reopen the economy. He's an economist. Ben Doerr, who's the guy who is being blamed for all these protests all across the country. Is he some evil conservative activist, or just a guy who's, you know, believes in a Second Amendment rights and is trying to organize? We'll get into that. Rabbi Daniel Lappin joins us. And Sarah Brady, who is from Idaho. She was arrested on a playground for having her kids play on the playground. She tells the backstory, which is pretty interesting. We'll get into all of that as well. Make sure you subscribe to this program if you haven't already, and rate and review it. 5 stars is the appropriate, of course, amount of stars. And also do the same for Stu Does America. Make sure to search for that, and we're getting into some of the hijinks of the Cuomo family tonight on Stu Does America. Thanks for subscribing. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. What the head of the UN's World Food Program just said should be making front page headlines all over the globe, because if what he's claiming is true, and I think it is, we're about to see food shortages on a scale that is unprecedented in modern history. Remember, before COVID-19, there were locusts the size of major cities, not individuals, but, you know, the whole swarm, that were eating the crops all over Africa and the Middle East and parts of Asia. And that was going to really hurt us. Now coronavirus has been implemented. These measures have been implemented. All of us are having to stay home. It has brought trade to an absolute standstill, which means normal food operations. And we're going to start seeing shortages here in America. Mark my words, please be prepared for this. But normal food production now is stopping as well. And transportation is breaking down. The head of the UN World Food Program just said, and this is the only time I think they ever talk about God or a Bible. He said, we are facing now in 2020, late 2020 and 2021, famine of biblical proportions.
Mm. Jeez.
So
that leads me to say, you know, you got the plague of locusts, right? You have the pandemic. I think it's time for Pharaoh to let our people go. I think I'm getting the hint. Let our people go. Okay, go. Get out.
I got it. But you know, Pharaoh would chase us on the across the desert and into the sea. So
yes, he would.
Not a lot has changed. We were just talking about Event 201, and I know what's going to be said, which is so crazy because it has its own website. I mean, you can
look it up,
find it. Just Google
Event 201. It's exactly what I did.
Right.
And there it is, the whole event. There are conferences all there, and you can see the things they were saying. I mean, you know, it's not like if they were just saying, you know what we should do is prepare the world with more PPEs. We should have more masks.
Yeah.
And we should have more gloves. And we should
have disinfectant. Well, they did say those things.
Yeah, but it went way deeper than that.
way deeper.
Like, we need a new world order. It's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no. they met on, I think it was day two or day three, they met with banks, you know, heads of banks and economic experts, and said, okay, so here's the scenario. What do we do? Well, we got to get the governments just to bail everything out, because all of this, you know, it makes sense now when you understand that the Fed came into the president's office when he said, I think I need to shut the economy down. They just handed him a plan and said, here it is. This is what we're going to have to do.
Right.
Because they had already done it. Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that they're wargaming, but I don't like the fact that everybody who is wargaming in this, they don't really like the free market. They don't like small government. They didn't take into consider the Constitution. This is all about passing these giant draconian kind of laws that are all part of Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030.
And what's going to be said about the presentation last night and what you're saying today is that Glenn Beck is saying that they spread the virus to make all this happen. No, and that's not what
didn't.
You're saying. That's not what
that's
you're
not
saying.
That's not what they said.
You know,
they didn't do that.
Even though
they're taking advantage, they were prepared. And as always, constitutionalists and conservatives were not.
Mm-hmm. As always, you're exactly right. I did hear you say earlier, though, that the guy from UPS was spreading vials of disease all over the planet, just sprinkling it everywhere he went.
No, I don't.
And UPS travels to a lot of different cities, and in every city he was leaving another vial of COVID-19, that bastard. Between him and the guy from Chick-fil-A, they're going to kill us all.
Damn Christians. So, by the way, speaking of Christians, did you hear that the police, somebody ratted out and called the police on the Amish? Did you see this?
No.
Okay. So first of all, you kind of know it wasn't your neighbor. The Amish are like, well, it wasn't Jebediah because he doesn't have a phone to call the police. but the police were called because they were having some sort of a barn gathering. And there were too many people in that barn to be safe. And somebody drove by saw it and were like, the Amish have got to be stopped. What are you talking about? They actually arrested some of the Amish people. Can we leave Amish alone? Good heavens,
and
man.
The Amish have probably already visited the guy who narked on him and brought him a plate of food and cookies and some churned butter.
Right.
You're such great people.
Yeah, no.
Leave the Amish
I know you just executed Soraya for not having a mask, but I'd like to build a barn for you.
The kind of people they are. So
it really is. Mm-hmm. The other one that I found interesting was the mayor of Vegas and how everyone says that it's reckless and dangerous for Vegas to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to finish that sentence now because of coronavirus, because I think it's dangerous and reckless to open Vegas up at any time. I mean, it's riddled with disease. It's just, I don't think you're going to have any more problems in Vegas than you already have.
No, they made her, Anderson Cooper kind of made her look bad, I think, the other night, when really what she was saying was, I'm going to let people exercise personal responsibility, and the casinos that open, they're going to be able to decide on the social distancing thing to try to keep their customers safe. And their customers, by the way, also can apply some personal responsibility to it by deciding how close they're going to get to other people. It's kind of how... I don't know. We should be, right? It's what Christy Noem said in South Dakota.
You are a freak.
I know.
You're a freak. You'd need to be destroyed.
I know.
Yeah, have you noticed how they're destroying Ellen DeGeneres now?
Yeah. Yeah.
They are coming after Ellen, and I think it's because she laughed with George W. Bush in that box watching some sporting event. And they were really mad at her about that. Now, I mean, these rumors have been out forever that Ellen is just not what she's like on stage. She's really a mean person. I don't know if I buy it. I don't really care, quite honestly. But if you look, it is the left, and it's organizations like the Daily Beast, and they're firing shots over her bow, saying, yeah, I mean, you know, she's really kind of not playing ball anymore, and she's, you know, buddying up with George W. Bush. I mean, have you heard how mean she is? We don't want to talk about it now, but it's starting to be talked about for the first time out loud. I mean, they just will eat anyone.
And if
anyone.
And if it was conservatives saying that, it would be because they're homophobes.
Yes.
But they're doing it simply because it's in the interest of nice people, and she's not one. So that's right. Right. And you're right. It all started after the appearance with George W. Bush. So
there's one other thing I'd like to address, unless you have something, Pat. Do you have anything you want to bring to the table?
No, I wanted to talk about your event 201 because I found that chilling. I found it chilling.
I think you're actually being sincere.
Right? I am. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That is what I came on wanting to talk about.
Yeah, it is. Everybody, you need to watch it. You need to do your own homework. Don't listen to conspiracy theorists that say this was all planned and, you know, coronavirus isn't real, because it is all real. These are people that were prepared and are taking advantage of a situation. Never let a crisis go to waste. And we have to watch our government, these public-private partnerships and all of this bailout. I mean, it all of a sudden makes sense that the federal government, or I should say the banks now, the Fed, is now the largest landowner in the world. The Federal Reserve is now the largest landowner. What is the objective of Agenda 2030? It's to be able to have the government own all of the land outside of the suburbs and in the rural area, to push everybody into cities so we can save the earth.
And the one thing that I think we should get from all of this is, why are conservatives, why are constitutionalists so awful? We're the worst planners in the world. We don't plan for anything. The progressives have been planning all of this stuff for over 100 years. Whereas we don't know what we're going to do 10 minutes from now. I don't know how we've gotten stuck in that rut where we don't have long range plans, where they've taken over the educational system. They've taken over the universities. They've taken over a lot of the science labs, the scientific labs and research areas. And they've been insidious in this, and they've been planning for all of this stuff for a century.
So why are we, you know, so it's not too late. Why aren't we talking about bigger ideas on, for instance,
be.
I think Mitch McConnell was absolutely right when he said yesterday, no bailouts for these states, file bankruptcy.
Right.
Let the states file bankruptcy. Why am I in Texas going to carry the burden of the New York payrolls and all of the New York retirement plans? Why am I having to pay for that in Texas? I knew that was insane the minute they were starting to do it. It was one of the reasons why I left New York. Many people left California because they knew it didn't work. Now you're going to just put that on my back? No frickin' way. You have to go through bankruptcy, and you're going to have to tighten your belt. And I think he's absolutely right. This is a mantra that we should all be saying right now. Otherwise, it's just going to happen. Because as I told you at Fox, when I went over all of the pension funds and said they're all going to collapse and they're all going to push it to the federal government, this is the event that they will cover that with. No, no. Here's an idea. I know it's kind of old timey, but since we're headed for famines of biblical proportions, why don't we try something else of biblical proportions? Why don't we try the 25-year, or is it 25-year or 50-year jubilee? You know what the jubilee is? The jubilee, I think all loans had to expire every 7 years, or you couldn't drag anything out over 7 years. And then there was the Jubilee. And the Jubilee was a resetting of all loans. Everything expired. Everything was, any debt was wiped out. Why don't we suggest a global Jubilee that we don't owe any debt? The countries don't owe any debt. We don't owe any debt to the banks. Everyone's debt is completely wiped out.
It saves us $25 trillion dollars. I like it.
Sure does. Just start over. What's crazier? What is crazier? That idea or just printing unlimited amounts of money and saying that debt doesn't matter? Just wipe it out.
It's a great position for us because we're the biggest debtor nation. Yes. So it works out well for us. I don't know that other countries
and
that
have China the money. Screw China.
Exactly.
All right.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Kevin Freeman is an amazing guy in the private sector. He co-developed and managed the portfolio operations group for Templeton and managed nearly $2.5 billion. He's consulted and briefed members of both the House and the Senate, present and past CIA, DIA, FBI, Homeland Security, Justice Department. He has done critical studies on 2008 that was used for the DOD. And he is the host of Economic War Room that you can watch on Blaze TV. If you are a member, just watch Blaze TV and Economic War Room. You can also find all of his work at economicwarroom.com. Welcome to the program, Kevin. How are you?
Glenn, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I could be better. Our economy could be working. There doesn't seem to be a shortage of money. There seems to be a shortage of commerce. And I don't think people really understand what we have possibly done to our economy. It's because we are all locked in our house still. People think we're going to go back to the way it was. Can you give me some insight on what you think the world's going to look like here in the next 6-12 months?
Well, you know, it depends on which. Sure, it depends on which perspective you take. If you look from the perspective of the elitists, those that are sitting in their mansions, like the Nancy Pelosi's with the ice cream, you know, their full expectation that we're going to not only go back to the way things were, at least for her, but that this is the opportunity to remake all of society in the vision that they have, and that's frightening and depressing. But if you talk to liberty-minded people, and I spend at least half my day doing that every day, they're scared, they're hopeful, and they're ready to work. They're ready to change things in a positive way for this country. So we have a path. It's a God gave us, I choose you, life or death. Well, we have a path of tyranny or liberty in front of us. And the liberty path is going to be harder to get there. The natural forces push us to tyranny. But it is still there. And if we cry out to God, I believe we have a shot at the liberty path.
So you have, you know, seven steps and to open up the economy, and I just want to hit on a couple of them. Shelter the vulnerable is the first step. The second one is use data-driven approach to open up certain parts of the country. You say there's a data tool that can tell you which counties can open right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Why aren't we? Go ahead.
It's a tool that Navigo has developed. I'm looking at it right now. State of Texas, if we open the entire state of Texas right now, we might have 451 additional COVID deaths than keeping it shut down. That was the estimation that this tool has. But we would have 986 more suicides. And that's an estimation. And then you take that data and you look down to the county level and you say, this county has young people. They don't lack ventilators. They don't have people with lots of diabetes. They have an important and critical industry. We could open in a county by county basis and we could get the economy. It's like after the lights go out, you go with the breaker switches. You want to turn on the most important things first so that you get your house back up and powered properly.
So, Kevin, first of all, what is the name of this? Is it an app or what is this?
Well, it's
this tool that you were just talking about.
Yeah, Patriotic Group of Engineers at Navigo started it. You can see it at restartnow.io. Anybody can go there. I've got Texas pulled up on mine. There's a little green button when you go to Texas. It says turn on the economy. You press that button, and it shows you the counties that can be opened, and then it shows you exactly what the data is telling us of how much savings it's going to bring in jobs, in lives, and so forth. And there's some counties. There's places that need... Go ahead.
It's called Restart. Sorry. What is it? Restart.
Restartnow.io.
Now.io. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
There's some counties, you were saying.
Yeah, there's some counties that need to remain shut. I mean, there's no question. The idea of opening all of Texas or all of New York or all of Florida doesn't make sense when you can go down to the county level. And I worked with this team and said, let's make this done by entrepreneurs, by patriots. It's funded by an Indiegogo campaign, not federal money. I told them reject the federal money and reject the big data money. Big data has been in trying to buy this tool. And so we started an Indiegogo campaign where people can say, hey, I want to see what my county's doing. Here's $45 or $9 or, you know, it doesn't matter what you give, just people giving. And all of a sudden, people want to know, is my county one that's safe? This is a tool that has the data that you don't have to worry about it being manipulated for political purposes.
I have to tell you, this is such a, I'm looking at it now. You end the shutdown now, end the shutdown in 30 days. It shows if you end the shutdown now, how many dollars have been lost, how many jobs have been lost, and how many COVID deaths versus suicides. Then if you end it in 30 days, how many additional dollars, how many additional jobs and increased suicides? I mean, we're this one is at least trying to balance both the heart and the head. Because we have to open this country back up. And I don't know if the average person realizes the damage that is being done every day that we are sitting on our hands.
Well, there's no question. If you watched Vice President Pence gave the commencement address at the Air Force Academy, and you saw those thousands of that thousand patriotic seniors graduating, there were two that were missing. Because they locked all the seniors in their rooms, and two of them, unfortunately, took their own lives. They were healthy. They were young. There's no way they would have died of COVID, but because we put that enormous emotional burden on those seniors, two of America's finest took their own lives. And that's happening across the country as people are facing abject poverty or the virus, and they're trying to make this Sophie's choice here. The problem is that seniors, and I talk to lots of them, say, hey, look, give me liberty or give me death. But elitists say, you can have my liberty, just don't let me die. We've got to go back to that. Our American people realize there's a risk to all of life, whether we're driving at 75 miles an hour or 55 miles an hour. You can save lives by lowering the speed limit, but you cost living. And people say, we've got to restart the economy. So I say, if that's the case, let's shelter the most vulnerable, number one. And number two, let's have a data-driven approach, a scientific approach to opening the economy starting immediately, not from political reasons, not because of marches, not because of totalitarian dreams. Use data-driven approach and get it started now, saving lives and saving the economy.
Yeah, and there are lives to be saved with the economy. We are looking, where do you stand on the warning from the UN that we are looking at global famine, quoting the UN, of biblical proportions because of COVID and other things like the plague of locusts and everything else that happened?
Well, that's where you go to 2 Chronicles 7:13 in the Bible, where he says, if I send a drought, if I send locusts, and if I cause literally a pandemic, a plague, then we should turn to God. And that was my seventh step. You know, I go through the six steps, and the seventh step is cry out to God.
Yeah, we are we're in real trouble because I think this is what God is telling us, and I'm not sure if that is happening. We need a massive awakening. Kevin, I don't know if you're aware. I did a special last night of Event 201, where they're where the people, you know, Bill Gates and Soros and everybody else and the UN, they are looking to move their Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 goals forward on a plague event like this. And they talk a lot about public-private partnerships and how the government and the private sector need to start working hand in hand and working as one. You know, that's great if you don't have fascism where one is telling the other what to do or where the government is owning part of that. But I think this is where we're headed with a lot of these bailouts. The Fed now is the largest landowner in the country. We now, because of these bailouts, now own part of the U.S. airline industry. Where is that in the Constitution? Where are you seeing things happening that we really need to be aware of and stop?
Well, Glenn, the first thing is the special you did last night was fantastic. I sat and watched it with my wife last night before I went to bed. It's scary. It's really well done. What one thing that most people don't realize, on January 23rd, published on CNBC, George Soros warns Trump of potential economic doom before election, and he's crowing the stock market's all-time highs, and George Soros is saying, you know, you don't realize it, but we're going to have economic doom before the election. How did he know that? My answer is what you showed us last night. Soros at Davos was told this is worse than we think. They knew it at the World Health Organization. They knew it in China. He had access to that. And so he just came out and just tweaked President Trump and said, you know what? There's economic doom coming. And I think that is one of the smoking guns that says these guys, I don't think they caused it. You made that clear. But I think they were prepared for it. They were prepared with a game plan to take away our civil liberties and to remake the world in their image as soon as the pandemic hit. And they were aware that a pandemic was on its way because of what happened at the in China and the World Health Organization. They knew was covering it up.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I'm going to talk to you about a Republican governor, Brad Little. I keep thinking of Chicken Little of Idaho. This guy, I don't even understand it. Now, I have connections to a very small town in Idaho, and nobody's paying attention to the Idaho standards up there because everybody's just working and doing what they have to do, and they all use common sense. They're farmers, for the love of Pete. There's been 51 deaths in Idaho. Now, that's from COVID-19, 51 deaths. That's 0.002% of the population. Every year, they have 250 people die from drugs and 417 people die from suicide. I can guarantee you there will be more suicides in Idaho because of these measures than there will be COVID deaths in Idaho. It's on full lockdown like the Democratic states. He's supposedly going to be announcing something today. Just a couple of days ago, he said that they're going to be opening up all non-essential businesses, but there's businesses that are opening up right now going, screw you, man. There's no problem here. How come you can have the city golf courses open and where you're making money, but I can't do that? There was a family that is now facing prison time for holding a yard sale outside of their home, out in the open air, with no large crowds. They were arrested, and they're facing prison time. Somebody else that you might have seen yesterday went viral. A woman, a mom in Idaho, took her kids to the park. She was arrested. Her name is Sarah Brady. She's facing possibly up to 6 months in jail. Sarah, welcome to the program. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, Glenn. Happy to be here.
So, Sarah, I want to start right off the bat because I saw your video yesterday, and I was horrified by it. And then I saw some additional stuff where the cop was really trying to be cool. I mean, he was really, he's like, look, guys, you got to talk to the mayor about this. I can't help you. Just, it's closed. The city has a right to close the parks. They close them every night. So where do you stand on this? Because the cop really wasn't trying to be a bad guy. And I understand that it's stupid to say your kids can't play in the park, but where do you balance this?
Well, so there's two, there was actually three officers there, and there in the park area where I was arrested, there was two. And the gentleman that didn't have a hat on, I actually felt like was pretty reasonable. The person that I, the escalation occurred with, I actually felt like was much, much less reasonable. And I can completely see the frustration of being in the middle of citizens who are upset about a park being closed and then feeling like you have the pressure from the mayor or the governor that you have to, you know, enforce orders.
And you, and I want to make this clear, too. You're not anti-police or trying to make them look bad. You are married to a police officer.
I am not anti-police at all. I love it, law enforcement. I mean, obviously, I'm married to one, you know, but I also, I don't like to see government overreach. And it is frustrating to see police officers being put in this position that they're having to enforce what I feel to be unconstitutional orders.
So what is, what, did you call the mayor or anybody prior to this? Have you, have there been efforts to get the mayor and to get the governor to stop this?
You know, there have been efforts. I personally haven't called the Meridian mayor. There have been efforts to, like there was a rally last Friday with a bunch of Idahoans at the state capitol. I attended. My understanding is there's been a protest at the governor's house. I did not participate in that. So there's a lot of Idahoans that are very upset about what's going on. A lot of Idahoans that are upset that some people are considered essential, other people are not. And I mean, quite frankly, I think anybody that's trying to provide for their livelihood is essential.
Oh, I 100% agree. And if there is a state that could be opened, I mean, there's a few of them. Texas, we've only had 17 deaths, and we're an enormous state. You are, you know, Idaho is one of those states as well. You have more than Texas does, but still, it's not New York City. And I don't understand, and this is a Republican governor. I don't understand why these governors in places like Idaho feel like they need to treat everyone in the state like a child.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think people should have the ability to make choices for themselves, right? I mean, every day we take risks, right? If you get in a car, you're taking a risk. I think Idahoans are smart enough to know what risks they want to take for their family, quite frankly.
When you went to the park, this was a planned protest. I mean, you, there's a post. I don't know if you posted it. There are a bunch of us taking our kids to the park in Meridian today at 3 p.m. Tear the tape off the playground. Anyone can join us. Kids, no kids. Let's take a stand. So this was, you knew that there was going to be a confrontation of sorts, right?
So, yes. And let me tell you actually what happened. So there was actually, okay, from what I remember, two different events. And I was involved in both. I did not make that comment saying, hey, come to the park. I did not make that comment. And let's tear down the tape. I didn't. I was on the fence about going. I mean, quite frankly, my kids have been cooped up in the house for over a month now. I have a special needs child. They've been asking to go to the park. They want to know when things are going to return to normal. And so I was on the fence. I honestly was like, oh, you know what? I don't know if I want to go down there. My concern was this, honestly, are people going to be, you know, acting inappropriately? Are they going to be vandalizing things? That was my concern. So I was kind of on the fence. And, you know, I have friends messaging me. Are you going to go? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. So that day, I'd kind of forgotten about it a little bit. Like, it just wasn't high on my priority list. And I sat down on my couch to catch up on social media, and up popped a video. A friend was like, hey, we're at the park. You know, and I see all my friends there with their kids. And they said, oh, the tape's down. I was like, oh, you know, and this park is so close to my house. So I thought, you know, I think the event time was 3 and 3:45. And I'm like, yeah, if nobody's come now to, you know, break up people, you know, playing at the park, I'm probably safe to go down there and hang out with my kids. And so that's literally, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go down to the park with my kids.
Hmm. If the city would have said to you as mothers, hey, listen, the virus lives on plastic for, you know, 72 hours or whatever, and there's plastic on the playground, we recommend that, you know, you just take some Clorox wipes and you wipe them down or whatever, because I got news for you. It's on the shopping carts and every place else when you're going out to buy groceries. That's reasonable, isn't it? Would you have brought Clorox wipes to wipe everything down if that was their objection? I mean, it's supposed to die in the sunlight, and it was a very sunny day yesterday, so it didn't matter if you had Clorox or not, but...
I mean, absolutely. If that would have been the requirement, please wipe down the equipment or, you know, try to keep it clean. I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
So the governor is supposed to talk about reopening the state today. What are you expecting?
Well, you know, quite frankly, I didn't expect all of this. So this is what I'm hoping. I am hoping that he does what Idahoans want him to do, is reopen our economy, reopen the parks. Let's get back to normal, because we can't do this forever. And go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think protecting people and then wanting to open the economy have to be exclusive to each other. Like, I think that we can have both. There's always going to be vulnerable people in our population, right? Then there's going to be another virus, right? I mean, viruses exist everywhere. But we also need Idahoans to get back to work. I mean, I have friends who are being laid off. You know, people not being able to provide for their families. And it's a scary time to think, how am I going to put, you know, food on the table? So, I mean, I think it's reasonable to reopen the economy and reopen things. And people can take precautions. Businesses can choose to take precautions.
You were bailed out yesterday. What do you what do you think is going to come of your case?
So it was actually the day before yesterday, but okay. Yes, I bailed out. You know, I don't know. I would hope that they would drop the charges, because how can someone like me be considered a criminal because I just wanted to take my kids to the park? I don't understand that. I mean, like, that's not the America I know or want to pass on to my children. But it, you know, time will tell. I'm not going to plead guilty.
What were you charged with?
I was charged with trespassing.
6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. You say this isn't the America that you know. It's shocking when things like this are happening in Idaho. Thank you so much. Sir, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't understand how we can let, you know, criminals and pedophiles out of jail, and I'm getting in trouble, you know, for being at parks.
Sarah, thank you so much.
One last thing, Mr. Beck?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, there was a protest at the police officer's house the night that I was released from jail. And I just, you know, I want to say to people out there, we're all in very tough times, right? There's escalated emotions. And I just want to say that I had nothing to do with that protest. And I want to apologize from one police officer family to another that I'm sorry that happened. And I don't want people to make people feel unsafe. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you've been doxxed by the left, so your family feels unsafe, and I think it's wrong whenever we take it to somebody's house and to their family, and I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you so much, Sarah. Appreciate it.